Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Sustainability should not primarily be a selling point, but the S word is frequently deployed as a marketing term to reach increasingly conscientious consumers. The trouble is that this often leads to greenwashing with vague, unvalidated claims. A new report from Source Fashion, Source Home, and Gift, and Insider Trends argues that accountability, accuracy, and authenticity are crucial for creating meaningful messaging and progress. I'm Jasmine Malik-Chua, sourcing and labor editor at Sourcing Journal. Joining me to discuss what must evolve in sustainability is Suzanne Ellingham, event director for the UK-based international responsible sourcing shows Source Fashion and Source Home and Gift. Welcome, Suzanne, and thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Jasmine. Well, thank you for letting me join you. It's a really interesting topic and a really relevant topic, and hopefully this will be a conversation that watchers and viewers will engage with as well. And I think everybody's got an opinion on this topic.
Right. The report, which you co-authored with Jack Stratton, is titled Good or Good Enough. What distinction do you make between those two when it comes to sustainability?
The last few years, the conversation has always been the same. It's like, we're going to do this. We're moving in the right direction. And the honest question is are these businesses doing good, or are they just doing enough? Like, is it good enough? Are they, you know, is there more that they could do if they pushed themselves? Is there more that they could be doing to impact their supply chain? And it really comes down to, there are some amazing businesses out there and some amazing leaders in this space that are trying to push the dial and genuinely doing great stuff. And then there are the people who are doing the minimum. And I completely understand that larger businesses and behemoths take a little bit of time for that tanker to turn and start moving in these directions. But they've been talking about moving in these directions now 5, 6, 10 years. So when are we going to start moving towards good as opposed to just doing enough? And everybody can think of a business that's doing good, and everybody will know if they are themselves doing good or doing good enough. And the question is, where do you want your business to be?
Right. Do you want to be proactive or just compliant with regulations? Yeah. Exactly. And as you note in the report, there is a gap between brands' promises and their actual progress. I believe the number is 9 out of 10 of the 2025 goals are not on track for completion. How can companies be more accountable and accurate with their goal setting and communications, you know, when it comes to their efforts towards achieving these targets?
Both me and Jack feel quite strongly about this, and it is a matter of moving away from terminology and really moving towards setting goals and being accountable. Often organizations will set a goal, and then when their next kind of annual report or company report comes around, there's a new goal. And if they didn't hit that goal, then we just don't talk about it and it didn't happen. Mm. Now, what we're seeing instead, and where we talk about transparency, is when we look at these companies who have set goals and then are open and honest enough in those reports to say, we didn't hit that goal for this, this, and this reason. It's a bigger job than we thought it would be, but this is what we're doing to improve. I have so much respect for businesses that set a goal and then hold their hands up and say, you know what, we just couldn't do it and we're trying. And I think consumers respect that honesty so much more as well.
Yeah. I know fashion is just such a weird creature. I mean, on the one hand, we talk about authenticity, being true to yourself. On the other hand, you know, brands are reluctant to share what they might regard as trade secrets. But why do you think brands still shy away from full transparency?
At its core, I think it's because they don't want to be accountable for it. I think we've looked at this in a few ways. And obviously there's greenwashing, but then there's also green bashing. And when we were talking to heads of sustainability, you know, maybe 5 or 10 years ago, they were quite scared about putting their head above the parapet and saying, we are sustainable. We are trying to do this. These are all the initiatives, because there was a tendency for people to stand up and go, okay, well, that's all great, but what about this? And what about this? And I think We've moved past that stage now. I think people are willing to recognize that you can't turn around an entire business. But if you are making genuine strides and you're moving in the right direction in some parts of it, then you know what? Maybe you just have an order of priority. If you can make impact in here and these are your wins, and then these other things, they're going to take a bit longer because they're incredibly complex. And there is nothing wrong with saying that. I think when we talk about people shying away from trade secrets, you know, if you're talking about a new blend of cotton that's going to decrease your kind of costs and is eco-friendly, you know, that's a trade secret. A trade secret is not how you're essentially decarbonizing your supply chain, or how you're putting things in place to make sure that the laborers who work in your factories are treated well and are paid a living wage. You know, those aren't trade secrets. So why are they not being transparent? With transparency comes accountability. If you're transparent and you say that this is my goal and this is what we're going to do, and then you don't get there, then it's like there's negative connotations with it. But I think it's time that we start celebrating people who are have the bravery to be transparent, and also the bravery to say why something didn't work and what they're going to do differently.
And I think we also need to talk about the role of legislation in this. We're seeing product claims coming under more scrutiny, you know, especially now that the EU has just given the final green light on the directive on empowering consumers for the green transition. Just rolls off the tongue there.
It does. I'll think of a better acronym.
but rather as being seen as a burden, how can companies leverage this specificity to help customers make better decisions, you know, amid accusations of greenwashing?
I always relate back to how do I behave, because I'm probably the key demographic for most people who want to sell things. If I've got the choice between buying a product that I know is made by a company that is a fundamentally a good business, I will probably make my choice to spend a bit more money with that company. And also, if it means I have to spend a little bit more and it gives me confidence that that product is, you know, made in a good way, then that's fine. I know if I walk into a fast fashion retailer and buy a t-shirt for £2, chances are there's something not quite right with that product. And I think consumers are more aware of that now. We're seeing a lot of very core research coming out around consumers reacting incredibly positively to brands that hold their hands up, and brands that are honest about what they're doing. Because if you're not hiding anything anymore, then you've got that opportunity to build trust. And that's really what it comes down to. I think a lot of these greenwashing claims are actually eroding trust in their own customer base. And there will be customers who don't care. There always will be, let's be honest. But the younger generation of consumers, and bearing in mind that millennials are now in their 40s, you know, they have the spending power and they are making more conscious choices. And if you lose the trust with them, then you're losing that wallet share and they will go spend with somebody else.
And do you have any advice for companies who have to kind of have this balancing act between, you know, saying enough that, you know, they don't get into trouble with the law, but also not providing an overwhelming amount of information that customers might not be interested in?
If we're quite honest, the only information that will get you into trouble with the law is if you've got slavery in your supply chain or you're using materials that are highly toxic. I think we highlight in the report Tony Chocolonely. No, it's a great brand. It's a confectionery brand. Actually, what we really loved about what they do is they have their own slavery report, and they will call out each year the instances that they found of this in their factories. And then they'll tell you what they're doing about it. Now, that is something where you could say, you know, is that something where that kind of disclosure could get them into challenges with their legal processes? Sadly, not, because, you know, modern slavery is legislated differently in different regions. And ultimately, if they've found that and dealt with it, they're saying that they're actively looking for a problem and they're proactive in solving it. It's a really quite a controversial, but a brave thing to do. If you're brave enough to say that we have decided that we are going to move forward and we want our business to operate in a better way, we want our products to make a positive impact on the world. That positive impact isn't just me buying that product. It's actually the labor and paying those workers a living wage so that they can live well. It's about providing employment into regions of the country, in regions of the world that have difficulty accessing employment. Your products and how you manufacture them can make such positive impact in the world. Why aren't brands and companies choosing to manufacture in a way that makes a difference? They might have to spend a bit more, but the positive impact that they can make in those communities is huge.
Yeah, it's that moral imperative. So to that point, what is the importance of due diligence and suppliers? You know, how can brands better assess potential and existing manufacturers who differentiate between salesmanship and substance?
It's always a difficult question because what you also have to build into this is profitability. And are you willing to trade off the profitability for substance and sales? There are lots of audit organizations, but I think the key to this is brands understanding their power. Like they can set mandates, and certainly some of these larger retailers that we work with actually require their manufacturers to meet their standards, not the other way around. When you go out, firstly, you have to do your due diligence. You have to work with an organization like a Sedex or a BSCI, a bare minimum, to make sure that the people that you're working with are doing good. Not everybody has the luxury of going to see every factory they work with, and sometimes it does go on trust. But you should go and see the factories that you work with, not only to see the capabilities, but you will learn more about walking around that factory, about how those workers day is, you know, and even just looking at the car park, that gives you a great sense of how well these people are paid and how well they're not. And I think, again, you can't get around due diligence, you have to do it. And the reality is that you have the power to enforce better standards because you can choose to spend elsewhere. And I think there are very good factories and very good manufacturers who have good working practices and can help you protect the margin that you want without you having to go to the bottom.
Right. And you mentioned profits. We talk about the triple bottom line, people, planet, and profits. So at the end of the day, even responsible companies, you know, face pressure to focus on the bottom line. How can companies reconcile the commercial interest in sustainability with their ethics? And, you know, what would more responsible marketing and retail practices look like?
It's a million-dollar question, really. I think if every business could just wave a magic wand, of course they would want well-made, responsible products. They would, but they're choices. When you are responsible for a business and you're responsible for making products, everybody has choices, places where they spend money and places where they prioritize. And in terms of turning around, and it is a transformation project to in order to get down that process. I think the reality is that it's going to take 5 to 10 years for people to do. And that's simply because they will encounter problems that they didn't realize. And the reality is that in the short term, your profit will take a hit because you'll have to go through that transformation and that CapEx project. It's about having a long-term view, about understanding this is not something that you're going to fix in 3 years. It's probably not something you're going to fix in five, but make a priority plan. And the businesses that we see that are truly making changes had just decided not to do everything at once. You can't do it. You'll possibly run the risk of damaging your business by going down that approach. But I think it's about having a long-term phased approach to change so that in a year's time, you've moved forward. And you know what? By doing that, when you get to that 5-year process, I promise you'll be further along than you were 5 years ago because you're being transparent, you're on that journey, you're communicating that with your customers. And you know what? In the long term, if they know that you're on that journey, maybe they will accept price increases in your product that allow you to continue to invest in people. And again, if you're able to communicate to your customers that by manufacturing in this region, you know, we're funding schools of workers' children, and that gives them more options to develop themselves. I think those are the types of stories that consumers connect with. And there's so many manufacturers that do that, and we don't talk about it.
What would your biggest advice be for, you know, for companies who want to move from good enough to good?
The companies that we see doing really great things have just picked a challenge to own, and every year they circle back to it. It's really about choosing the thing that you can make a difference on, committing to it, being transparent about it, and then not having it disappear from your company report 12 months later. If you've met it, celebrate it. And if you haven't met it, celebrate the fact that you will meet it next year, and be honest about the reasons. Because what we don't talk about is if you have that goal, other people do. If you're trying to get closer to hitting that goal and hitting challenges, maybe you're further ahead on that journey than somebody else who wants to go there. And maybe your learnings can help speed theirs up. And it's not about a sense of competition. It's actually about this is fundamentally something we all kind of are in together. And if we're all moving in the same way, it'll become standard business practice a lot quicker.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Suzanne, for your pearls of wisdom.
Thank
Wonderful
you,
having you
Jasmine.
with us.
Thank you very much.